Okay, turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Daniel chapter number 1. Man by the name of Daniel, as found in the Bible, was a remarkable man. We read about him as a young man in the land of Chaldea. He was taken captive as a young man, probably around 18, 19 years of age. He was taken captive out of the land of Israel, province of Judah. He's probably of the seed of the king, probably one of the up-and-coming young people in the land of Judah, one of the most promising of the young men that were in Judah at that time. And he was taken captive into slavery, into the land of Babylon as Nebuchadnezzar came and besieged the city of Jerusalem. And under the orders of Nebuchadnezzar, the king, all the best of the land were taken. I suppose you would say that they didn't have an ACT test back those days. But they took the people of the top 1% of the ACT test and in the universities and whatever situations there were. They took the very best of the youth of that time and purposely took them to Babylon to be servants of the king of Babylon. I'm sure that there were a lot of questions about what was going on. Of course, the prophets and most of the Old Testament is written to speak of the fact that God does judge, and He does judge the people of God when they. I'm sorry, I got this coughing spell here, and I don't like drinking in church, but just don't follow my example. So here we have Daniel. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 57, Isaiah prophesies of this day, and this is what he said. The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away. The righteous perish, and merciful men are taken away. None considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Quite a statement. None considering that the righteous are taken away for the evil to come. So here we have Daniel taken to Babylon. I suppose it'd be good for us to think about really what did happen. He supposedly lost his future. He did. Lose his country. He did lose his home. He was taken away from all his relatives. Probably never saw his father and mother again. Was not there for their funerals. Maybe didn't even hear about their death. Worse than that, he was made a slave. Against his will, taken to a foreign country. Put in a culture that he would never choose to live in. And in fact, if he had his choice, it would be the last place in the world that he would ever go. He was made a eunuch. He would never be married. He would never have children. He would never have descendants. He would have no children to take care of him when he died. He died in his old age. Not by choice. All of this was against his will. All of it was against his choice. This all happened to Daniel. If you look at the book of Daniel, there's two things that we need to consider right away. First of all, we need to consider what we just said, what happened to Daniel. You know, that's the way we think nowadays. What happened to Daniel? Bible doesn't even talk about it. Bible didn't say anything about what happened to Daniel. The Bible only talks about what God was doing through Daniel. Amazing the difference in perspective of the 21st century compared to the Bible. We need to think about what Daniel didn't do. What Daniel didn't do. You know, what isn't here is very, very profound. What Daniel didn't do. Let's think about it. Number one, he didn't give up. Oh, my future is taken away. My family is taken away. My home is taken away. I'm a slave. Forget it. Just forget it. Forget God. Forget anything. He didn't give up. Number two, he didn't make excuses to go into sin. He didn't make excuses to go into sin. You know, all this happened to me. I'm just going to do what I want to do. He didn't make excuses to go into sin. Thirdly, he didn't blend in. He didn't blend in. Oh, there's this crowd. This is what everybody... You know, you only read about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What about all the rest? What about all the rest? When the trumpets played, music played, and everybody's supposed to bow down by this image of Nebuchadnezzar... What about all the rest? How come there's only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that didn't bow down? Daniel must have been out of the city doing business. What about all the rest? He didn't blend into the crowd. Four, he didn't follow the crowd. He didn't blend in and he didn't follow the crowd. That's what they're doing. That's what I'm doing. That's the way it is today for most people, right? Follow the crowd. Crowd's right. Here's my excuse. Next two are somewhat related. We don't see, in any sense of the word, he didn't get angry at God. He didn't get angry at God. Should we review it? He lost his future. He lost his family. Never saw his father and mother ever again, as far as we know. Never went back to Judah. Never went back to his home country. Was made a slave. Was forced to serve a heathen king. Was castrated. Never to marry, never to have children. No descendants. All against his will. And I'm sure I missed probably 20, 30 things that happened to him. But he didn't get angry. Seven, he didn't question God. Not that we know of. He did not question God. You know, my Bible says shall the clay say to the potter, why have you made me such? That's what my Bible says. Shall the clay say to the potter, why hast thou made me such? Do we understand that we are in a day of elevation of the human, of humanness over God? We have no sense that he questioned God. If you look at his life, you'd have to agree it was impossible for him to legitimately question God and become who he was. Not possible. And obviously, the last point, that what didn't Daniel do? It's obvious. He didn't focus on himself. He didn't focus on himself. Woe is me. Woe is me. Woe is me. Now, any one of these things would be quite typical and quite easy for us, because that's the world that we live in. This is the day that we live in. But I think there's a truth here. If you believe the Bible, and you believe what the Bible says about coming judgment, and you believe what the Bible says about the coming apostasy of which we are in, Daniel is a picture of a godly response, a godly life in the last days. A godly response, a godly life in the last days. And before we get into the specifics, we're going to answer the next question, what was God doing? What was God doing? Now, the Bible gave us an answer already in the book of Isaiah. The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away. None considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. In other words, you know what, if Daniel would have stayed in Jerusalem, something worse would have happened. Something worse was going to happen in Jerusalem. And God spared him. God spared him. What was God doing? God was saving a remnant. That's what he was doing. He was saving a remnant. The Bible teaches there's always going to be a remnant. You know what I mean, remnant? You know, you go to the clothing store, to the dry goods store. They don't have many around me much more. But, you know, dry goods. And, you know, the end of the roll is the what? The remnant. The remnant. You know, most of it's been bought up, and there's a little bit left. And there's not much left to do much of anything with, so they just sell it cheap. Remnant. Just a little bit. In fact, the Bible typifies the remnant as 10% or less. 10%. A small amount. What was God doing? God was saving a remnant. A small group. That he would be able to use to continue Jewish people. What was God doing? Well, God was bringing a light to a dark place. Babylon, a dark place? It is a dark place. What was God doing? You know what? He brought a pretty big light there. Daniel. Pretty big light. He brought a light to a dark place. What was God doing? God was doing something that would have a ministry for generations and generations and generations. And generations. You know what? Daniel lost his descendants. But his influence for generations and generations and generations was greater than any influence of his possible descendants. Every person in this room that's a Christian that walks with God has read the Bible, has been influenced by Daniel. And you may even be influenced by him today. And he's been dead a long time ago. And there was a day in which humanly his future influence was taken away. But that was only from a human standpoint. That was only from a shallow standpoint. That's only from the understanding of man who doesn't know God. What was God doing? God was bringing glory to himself. You think of Daniel, what do you think of? Well, you think of great things, don't you? When you think of Daniel, you think of God delivering him out of the lion's den. Oh, wow. Think of Daniel. You think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men who strengthened themselves in the Lord. And they were delivered out of the fiery furnace. You think great things of God when you think of Daniel. You know, Daniel means God is my judge. He was a man who lived for the judgment day. God was doing something. God was choosing a servant for a vessel of the revelation of prophecy. I guess you can look at things any way you want. You can look at things the way you want and be a loser. Or you can look at things from God's standpoint and be a winner. What a man, Daniel. In Daniel, we have revealed the facts of who Daniel was. We have a record of who he was and what made him great. So let's think of some of those things this morning. What do you think God's view of Daniel was? Well, there's a number of things I'd like to emphasize that I think are pretty obvious. So let's go to the key verse in this passage, verse 8. Of course, Daniel was going to go to the college of the elite of Chaldea, Babylon. And probably the Harvard of that day. And he was going to rub shoulders with the upper echelon in every way. And what came with it. The luxurious life, the comfortable life, the luxurious meals. I'm sure a lot of people thought, man, this is the greatest opportunity in life. Daniel said, verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. Think of that. Think of his spirit. Here he is in Babylon. All these things could have blended into the crowd, could have used it as an excuse to live a sinful life, could have just made the best of the situation and became amalgamated in the Chaldean culture and could have made the best of his world, so to speak, and nobody would know. I mean, everybody else was doing differently. But here's Daniel. He's thinking about God. He's thinking about God. He's saying, no, I want to please God. I want to please God with my life. Wow. That's what he was thinking. I want to please God with my life. I don't want to defile myself with this food. Unclean animals. Meat cooked in blood. Alcoholic beverages. The best. No, I don't want to defile myself. I want to please God with my life. Can you imagine that? In Chaldea, far away from home, a young person. No, I want to please God with my life. You know anybody like that? I want to please God with my life. You know what kind of person says that? A person who loves God. That's who says something like that. A person who was in love with God. You mean they weren't mad at God? They weren't bitter at God? They didn't question God? They weren't upset? No. He loved God. He is God. I want to please you, Lord. I want to please you. That reminds me of what it says about Jesus. In John 8:29. What does it say about Jesus? Great verse in the Bible. Jesus said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." I do always those things that please him. Wow, isn't that great? Daniel was a man who wanted to please God. That's because he loved God. He loved God. You know, we see something else about Daniel. We can see it so clearly in this passage of Scripture. Daniel had the right view of authority. Daniel had the right view of authority. That's why he didn't get bitter at God. That's why he didn't get angry at God. That's why he wasn't saying all these things. He had the right view of authority. Isaiah 64:8. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." I put it a different way. Daniel was a man who not only loved God, but Daniel was a man who trusted God. He was a man who trusted God.
Because he has the right view of authority. The potter, that represents authority.
And he said, I have a good God. I have a good God. I can trust him. I can trust him with my life. Now you see this kind of running throughout here. Now God's law said, don't eat this, don't drink this, don't do this. You know what that means? Law represents authority, right? And what did Daniel say? Daniel says, I want to submit to my God. I want to obey my God. Kind of fits. He had the right view of authority. And so he says, I'm not going to defile myself. And so he comes to the guy who's in charge of him. He goes to the man in charge of him, Melzar. And he says, you know, Melzar, I can't eat this food. You know, Melzar says, you know what? If you don't eat this food, there goes my head. It's my job. Take care of you guys. And if you don't eat this food, and the king says, hey, how come these guys look a little bit pale? You haven't been feeding them right. There goes my head. Daniel says, I'm sorry, Melzar. I can't eat. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't go against my God. I can't go against God's law. I don't want to bring you in trouble. But you know, Melzar didn't think of Daniel as a rebel, did he? Melzar didn't think of Daniel as a rebel. Daniel didn't, wasn't, the Bible says that what? Verse 9, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. You know what? The prince of the eunuchs, he loved Daniel. He was probably the most cooperative fella among them. He was great. No problem with him. This Daniel, this is quite a guy. The fact is, maybe a whole bunch of them had a big chip on their shoulder. And they're a little bit difficult to work with. Not Daniel. You see, Daniel had the right view of authority. It started with God. He trusted God. He obeyed God. He let God be his authority. Isn't it amazing how that all works together? And so he said, Melzar, hey, give us a chance. Reasonable. Not rebellious, reasonable. Not trying to push him against the wall. reasonable. Give us 10 days. Just give us 10 days. That's all we need. And we'll eat a strict biblical diet for 10 days and see if there's a difference. See if in God's way isn't better. Do you think he had faith? Yeah, I didn't get a lot of faith. You see, he believed God's law was good too. You see that? Oh, we got this law here, we got this law here, and yeah, a bunch of do's and a bunch of don'ts, and oh! Yeah, you know what? Daniel didn't have that problem. Daniel, you see, he had no problem with authority. He knew that God was good. And he knew the Word of God was good. And he wasn't complaining about God's law, made his life difficult in a foreign country. Man, he didn't complain about that. He says, you know, give us a chance. God's Word is so good. God's laws are so great. They're just perfect. It's not an accident. So after 10 days, and he said, okay, sounds reasonable to me. Daniel, let's go for it. Yet what happened? After 10 days, boy, you looked at them. You know, their whole countenance. You could tell by their countenance that there was light there. There's brightness in their eyes. Their countenance was obvious that they were not only healthy on the outside, but on the inside. Kind of goes together, doesn't it? Yeah. He is a man who had the right view of authority. He believed in authority. Knew how to appeal to authority. Knew how to trust authority. Because he trusted the authority of God in the Word and in his life. See that throughout his career. Even when he had to follow God in contrast to earthly authority. But you know, we see something else here. Not only was he a man who obviously loved God, a man who trusted God, but he was obviously a man who was shaped by fellowship with a holy God. He was a man of unswerving convictions. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. How many people have you met like that nowadays? Unswerving conviction! Where did he get that from? You know where he got that from? He got that from knowing a holy God. You know, I think one of the big problems today, what do you think, young people? I think one of the problems today is people don't even know God. They don't have any convictions because they haven't really met God. Oh, maybe they got religion. Maybe they got good Baptist religion. But the problem is, that's all they have. They don't have a personal relationship with a living God, the holy God of heaven. As a result, they don't have any convictions. You know, convenience, not convictions. Here's a man at convictions. Oh, wow. I mean, these convictions were going to maybe cost him his life. King Chaldea, you know, he wasn't any namby-pamby. He didn't have much fear of the Lord. They were vicious people. Just knock them off, no problem. Going to be a problem here, we're done with them. Yeah, but Daniel says, I'll not defile myself. I think about it. This is really important. The devil wants us to be discouraged, doesn't he? You know what happens when people get discouraged?
They lose strength of heart.
They say, "Oh, what's the difference? Forget it. Just let it go. Whatever." Not Daniel. Had every reason in the world to have lost his strength of soul. But he didn't. He didn't. He walked with God. His focus wasn't on himself. His focus was on God. I wonder, where's our focus? Young person, where's your focus? Thinking upon yourself? It's all about me. Nobody's going to have, none of us here that I know, could even imagine what took place with Daniel. His focus was on God. And he is a man who was shaped by a holy God. Wasn't shaped by the crowd. Wasn't shaped by circumstances. He was a man who was shaped by a holy God. Wow, isn't that great? We can see something else about him. And this is true as we could look at the rest of the book. He was a man of purpose. He is a man of purpose. I will not be defiled by the king's meat. You know what? Not going to happen. Maybe I'll die, but it's not going to happen. I'm not going to violate God's word. There's something more important to me than fitting in with the crowd. It's God. Wow. Think about it. Boy, he retained his purpose in life even though everything around him should have robbed him of it. You know what I mean? Everything around him should have robbed him of his purpose. But he didn't lose his purpose. Have you lost your purpose? Have you lost your purpose? Have you lost your purpose in life? Have you lost your focus? One of the books I love in my library by Peter Masters is called Men of Purpose. And lists the biographies of a number of men who through their lives accomplished great things. But the common chord was the theme. They were men of purpose. Daniel purposed in his heart. You put God and the love of God and our trust of God and our knowledge of God and our belief in God and our walk with God and our understanding of his holiness. You put it together. And you have a person energized by the Spirit of God. A man, a person who has purpose. Huh. How many people lost their purpose? You know, it's purpose that allows a person to rise above all the circumstances of life. Isn't that true? Take away purpose. And what do you have? Purposelessness. Purposelessness. Is that what I'm trying to say? Whatever. That's terrible. Take the sparkle out of an eye. Take the drive out of the will. Take the vision out of the eyes. Purposelessness. But Daniel was a man of purpose. Never lost sight of God's purpose for his life. Later on, we're going to see how he was able, that he was obviously a man of great faith. He believed in God's goodness. He believed in God's power. He believed in God's plan. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Take it on an everyday level. Oh, there's that temptation. No! I'm living on a higher plane than that. God has a purpose for my life. God is good. And I want to please him. You see, I think Daniel is a message for today, isn't it? Put it in the setting. The day in which the people of God had given up. The judgment had come. But there was a man who stood above the crowd. It is a picture, an illustration, an example of how young people need to live in this day. This day in which the so-called people of God have gone their own way. The day in which the judgment of God is beginning to fall. A day of difficulty. A day of the remnant. A day in which God is looking for some to shine in a dark place because he still has a plan. Young people, Daniel has a message for you. He has a message for us all, doesn't he? There's a huge contrast to the kind of thinking that permeates our society today. Me, 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 me. Instead, God, I love you. I want to please you in all that I do. God, you're a holy God. I want to walk in fellowship with you on your ground. God, you have a plan. Whatever it is, God, I'm trusting you with my life. So that when I see you, you'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Daniel, a man of passion, energy, purpose, will, love, faith, conviction. He's the example of the hour in which we live. Certainly, he is a rebuke to our oftentimes fickleness, isn't it? He is a rebuke to the fact that oftentimes we get discouraged when we start thinking about ourselves and we lose our purpose. We lost sight of God. Maybe that's what we really need. We really need to know the God of the Bible. That'll change us, won't it? What a tremendous life ministry this man had. His life is ministering to us even this day. But humanly, he lost. He lost, but he really didn't. The Lord said, whosoever will lose his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall find it. He said, whosoever loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall find it. Peter said to the Lord, Lord, we've left all and followed you. What do we have? Nothing. We left it all. And the Lord said, there is no man that hath left house or home or mother or father or brothers or sister or husband or wife or lands that shall not receive 100-fold in this life and eternal life to come. Wow. That's the right perspective. Do you know the Lord Jesus? You know, everywhere around us, the flag of the world is waving its hand. Oh, fun, sin, money, materialism, pleasure. Don't waste your life on Jesus Christ. Don't waste your life on Jesus Christ. That's the flag of the world. On the other side, it's as empty as you can get. But the Lord's plan. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. You might have some thorns on it, but it's still abundant life. There's the great temptation of life, isn't it? We all face it. Young people, you're going to be facing it even more so. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today for the word of God. Thank you for the life of Daniel. And Lord, There's a great message for us today. I pray it would be received. It will be acted upon. And Lord, I pray you'd help your people even now to allow you to work in their life. We thank you that, Lord, that even as you said to Abraham, shall not the God of all the earth do right? We thank you that, Lord, that even Daniel realized that all things work together for good for them that love God. And thank you, Lord, that in these days we can learn by what Daniel didn't do, and we can learn by what Daniel did do. I pray it would make a difference. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe it has made a difference already in your thinking.